Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I don't need you to worry for me, 'cause I'm all.
Well, good morning, Shasta County, and all my listeners everywhere else who do not reside in the county. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show, all paid for by me, no paid sponsors. So anytime I plug a business or a service or a restaurant, it's just because I want to, not because I'm paid to do so. So today, and we are broadcasting live, by the way, down here at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You can also listen online, kcnr1460.com, and my shows are always archived at votekevincry.com. Again, that is votekevincry.com, and I would encourage you to follow me on Facebook, Vote Kevin Cry, and I have, of course, I do my Facebook videos, and I go live most Mondays at 7 a.m., or at least post a video every Monday at 7 a.m. The weather, always brought to you by Weather NorCal. Good friend of mine, Mike Kruger, as far as the meteorology people in the world go, he's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. That's where I go to get all my weather, and it'll be in the 80s this week. It will be at like 81 tomorrow, and it'll top out at 88 on Friday, and it's in the mid-80s throughout the week. I guess there's a 40% chance of rain in the midweek, but again, you know, it's weather, so take it for what it is. All right, so this past week, let me actually go back. We have a lot to cover in this show, but I want to make sure everybody knows that this Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors, 1450 Court Street, we're going to have Doug Bond come in. He's going to give a presentation on the Amity Foundation. The Amity Foundation is the organization that the county is looking to partner with for the 90-acre alternative custody program that Sheriff Johnson, myself, and Supervisor Plummer, as well as many others, have been working on. So he's going to do a presentation. I believe it's R3 or R4, but it'll be before public comment, and that'll be this Tuesday. So if you get there at 9:15, 9:20, you should be able to get there before the beginning of it, because I would assume he probably won't start till 9:30, 9:45. So he may call in at some point today. But I want to back up a little bit. This past Friday, I want to give a shout out to the Anderson football team, the Anderson Cubs. I went there, class of 94. Love it. There isn't another place on earth I would have wanted to go to high school and have the experiences that I had. But my nephew's the quarterback this year, and they're 2-0. And I'll tell you, it's, and if you know, for those people that are listening, very far outside of the county, Anderson High School was a very storied athletic high school for many, many, many years. And the mills closed in, the late 90s, early 2000s. There was actually the mid-90s and then late 90s, early 2000s. We had Roseburg and we had Simpson, two huge mills. So with that, Anderson lost a lot of that identity of the very blue-collar, hard-working families. And there's still a lot of great blue-collar, hard-working families living in Anderson, but it definitely changed the landscape of what students went there and the families that were there. I mean, when I was playing football there in 93, I graduated in 94, but the season of 93, I want to say we had probably 55 to 70 people on the varsity football team, and that was pretty standard. I think it probably still is for some of the bigger high schools locally. I think Anderson had 18 kids suited up this week. And I know that's not only Anderson. I know other schools struggle to get the numbers across all sports now. But the point I wanted to make is it was really, really impactful to me to watch my nephew playing. He didn't play last year for various reasons, and this is my nephew who was my brother's son, my brother's only son, who died quite a few years ago. I think it's been 12 years now. And but watching him celebrate with his friends and watching it was the first time I've probably seen that type. And I'm going to embarrass him right now. So my nephew Cooper is very stoic. And, he's got a great sense of humor, great kid, but to see him celebrate the way he did, because they came from behind and scored a touchdown with like a minute left to win. And he's got, I think, 6 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions and through the first 2 games. But what was the most impactful thing for me was watching him encouraging his teammates when they were down. And I got really, it was very bittersweet because I'm sitting there in the stands with a good friend of mine that we're watching the game. And I said, man, I wish my brother could be here watching this with me right now, because he'd just get a kick out of it. And so I guess this whole story is going to tie into a little bit about Doug Bond. But anyway, shout out to the Anderson Cubs, starting 2-0. Super proud of you guys. And I know they play Las Plumas this week, so I will definitely be on the road and be down in Oroville to watch that. But here's where this crosses over into Doug Bond. Doug Bond is he's the CEO of the Amity Foundation, and he started as the CEO in July of 2018, following the succession plan that was developed. And this was with the founder and the CEO, Rod Mullen. He had served in the position for like 35 years. So Doug is the first person other than the founder in, you know, 30 plus years, or almost 40 years now, who's ran this. And Doug actually first came to Amity in 1983 after being in several foster homes, and he was reunited with his father, who had been incarcerated. And his father and sister spent 2 years at Amity, and Doug was one of the first children to be allowed to reunite with his father while going through a reentry program. And his mother, her name was Betty Garcia, she also came to Amity after her release from prison in 1986, and she went on to help open the first in-prison therapeutic community in California at the Richard J. Donovan Correctional Facility. So Doug, he actually reunited with his mother about 20 years later when he came to Amity as a student in need of services himself. So, you know, Doug lost several of his family members due to the opioid crisis in America, and that was, of course, in the 80s and 90s, and is still very prevalent today. And Doug received custody of his then 8-year-old niece after his sister's overdose. So, you know, here's Doug dealing with his own stuff, and then he gets custody of his 8-year-old niece. And his family's experience with incarceration and addiction, poverty, violence, has driven his commitment to creating a safe teaching and therapeutic environment for men, women, and children. So when I say, I've been very outspoken about this, and again, I always want to give credit where it's due. Supervisor Plummer actually reached out to Amity originally. I don't know if he was supervisor-elect, that's when he first met, or was made aware of the Amity Foundation, or if it was after he already took office earlier this year. But when he asked Sheriff Johnson to go down and visit the campus, and then Sheriff Johnson reached out to me, and he, you know, he asked that I would be involved at the ground level with it, I said absolutely. Now, Doug and I become, you know, pretty fast friends. He's one that, of all the people I've met in the different verticals and sectors within these, you know, some people say the NGOs, the, you know, the non-government organizations, but the nonprofits, he's the real deal. He gets it from a very foundational level. And I'm not going to say he'd do it for free, but I would tell you this is way more than a job to him. This is a commitment as true as the blood runs through his veins. I mean, he's a product of this organization. He's a believer in it on so many different levels. And when he comes on Tuesday, you know, he's going to get, I believe we, normally the presentations are 8 minutes. I believe we, as chair, I can move that number around. I think we've given him 10. There will be opportunities for questions and answers, but, I would encourage you just to really, really lean in. I know there are going to be some people who aren't really, really stoked to have the alternative custody program down there off of 273. By Haven Humane, and I've already been meeting with some of those constituents. They're actually in District 5. They're Supervisor Kellstrom's, but I know a couple of them personally. So we're going to do everything we can to make sure that as we look at that property and the layout of the facility, that we keep the natural beauty of the environment, you know, as undisturbed as possible, but also making sure that, you know, we're having a very, very clear path to giving some people opportunities to dig themselves out of their own personal situations in terms of getting job skills and getting their lives turned back around. But make no mistake, this is not a bleeding heart initiative is concerned, that just wants to say, oh, you've committed a crime, so we're just going to let you off easy. That's not it at all, because I want the dirtbags in jail. And quite honestly, what I love about this the most is it takes nonviolent offenders, gets them out, gets some work skills, helps them reintegrate into the community. But what that also does is that's going to free up beds in the jail for the people that need to be there, that for whatever reason we can't send them off to prison. So Doug may be calling in later today. He actually was going to, but then he's got to take his in-laws to church this morning. And so we'll see. He may call in at the break at 8:30. All right, we're going to move on. We have a couple – well, we have quite a few big issues. But one of the ones I want to talk about is, as most of you know, back in 2024 there was Measure D, and that was something that I brought up. I sponsored – and that was our charter. So in March of 2024, when the failed recallers couldn't get me, and we beat the recall, Measure D also passed at that time. So Measure D was basically, I'm going to boil it down really simple for the people that don't remember, but what the charter says is the governor cannot appoint, shall a supervisor vacate office. That could be through death. That could be through they just move or they resign their office. For whatever reason, the governor does not get to appoint. So it either gets to be selected by the Board of Supervisors, it could be pushed to a vote, or it could be left. The seat can be left vacant till the next scheduled election. So those are the three things in the charter. I wrote it. Anybody that wants to tell me that there's something else in it or there's different things you can do, they're nuts, because that's what it is. And we voted on that, right? So as you many of you know, we had Measures P and Q. And I learned a huge political lesson when you're talking about bringing things to a ballot, because there were so many propositions that, of course, many people said, hey, vote no on everything except for Prop 36. So people went to the ballot box and they just, you know, they put the little check mark or the little fill in the little bubble, no on everything. And what's funny is like Measure Q, which I was really, really, I mean, Measure P I thought would pass easily, which was around eminent domain and just making sure we could double down on, I think it was Prop 99. So if the state ever does away with that, we would be covered like San Bernardino County that says you can't touch my land, government. But that barely didn't pass. But Measure Q got defeated pretty resoundingly. And the narrative from a couple past supervisors and other people said, hey, don't give the Board of Supervisors more power on, you know, by passing Measure Q, when in actuality it was the exact opposite. What Measure Q did was that it would allow the Board of Supervisors, when an elected official was no longer in office, we could push that to a vote. So because that didn't pass, we were forced yet again to have to appoint an ROV for the second time in a couple years. So, you know, Measure Q would have definitely, that would have been different. But, hey, that's fine. But what I learned in that is, you know, the timing of elections and, you know, the arguments for and against, et cetera. So now, in July, if you remember, it was the meeting of July 16th of this year, I requested that a survey be developed and brought back to the board to gather feedback to amend or propose additions to the Shasta County Charter. Because for me, I really wanted more community involvement. Like I just did Measures P and Q because it's just, those are two things that are near and dear to my heart. I mean, I ran on private property rights, with what happened with Redding Rancheria and the tribe and that whole debacle at the city of Redding. And so I thought, okay, I want to really make sure eminent domain, we do everything we can there. And then on the voting side, that was important. So I said, okay, this time let's get a lot of community input, see what they want to do. Well, when that came back in August, when the survey was ready, and if you look, it's on our consent calendar. It's C3 for this. And I put it on the consent calendar because I don't need to make a big political, make it a regular calendar item where we do a big board discussion. It's like, hey, there's a community survey there. It's going to be out there. It's going to be the first step to gather public feedback. And there's a lot of links in there as well to tell you, hey, this is how, you know, charters work. And there's examples from other counties. And I always point to Orange County or San Bernardino. They have a lot of things in there. I mean, of course, we have local ones as well. I mean, local counties to us. But I would just tell you, read that, look at it, get involved in the survey. But the reason in August this was pulled was we discovered something super troubling. And when I say we discovered, I'm going to say county council, you know, realized, because he was looking at, okay, the charter, because when he was here, if you remember, he didn't come until well after the election of 2024. So when he comes, he was told, yep, the charter paperwork's all been filed. We're good. That's done. So, okay, he just moves forward. And like I had mentioned in the past, and I won't go super into this, but past county councils for years kept terrible, terrible records. And you can fill in the blanks why you believe they did that. So Joe comes in, Joe Larmer comes in and says, okay, the charter's already done. We're a charter county. We're moving forward. So what he did was he realized in mid-August of 2025 that when he raised the question asking if sufficient documentation had been provided to or otherwise filed with the Secretary of State's office to finalize the process transitioning Shasta County from a general law county, because that's what we were. Actually, technically, we still are, and I'll get into that. But transferring from a general law county to a California charter county following the approval of Measure D during that primary election. And this is what we found out. At the time, Joanna Franciscat, who was the acting ROV, because if you remember, Kathy Darling was out on leave. And then at the time, Alan Cox was our county counsel. So here's what happened. The paperwork was never done. We were supposed to be a charter county as of January 1st of 2025. So when I'm putting this charter survey out and Joe starts looking at it and just trying to get his bearings because he knows we will pass some amendments to the charter, whether it's be in June or November of next year. But we will, because we're going to get a lot of community support and involvement for what they want. I mean, this is your charter, people. What do you want in it? And then we get to vote on it as a community. That's like the most beautiful thing under our republic, is we get to craft what we want. But the disturbing thing is we're not a charter yet. And so I had asked staff, and I won't say the staff member's name, but we were all in a room saying, oh, my gosh, this is a nightmare. We should be, you know, 9 or 10 months in, or at that time, 8 months in to being a charter. And we're not. So I said, someone's got to reach out to Joanna Franciscat and ask, like, what happened? So what it was relayed to me, this is what was relayed to me, was she was aware of the paperwork and she was aware that it never got filed. So what I've done is I've asked county council to look into, okay, you know, who do we blame here? Is this the ROV or the ROV office? Is this county council's office? You know, is Joanna Franciscat or Alan Cox? Like, who dropped the ball? Someone, I mean, when we vote as a community on something, and this is supposed to actually go to the Secretary of State, which then pushes it to the legislature votes and adopts it based on the vote of the people here in the county of Shasta, and that didn't happen. So what we did was the staff immediately, working with Clint Curtis, the current ROV, and then some of his staff, and some of his staff really worked really hard on it, and some of his staff was actually, you know, working in the ROV's office in 2024 when this happened. So you'd have to go down and ask the ROV or any other employees, like, you know, what their beliefs are, because I didn't go super granular, because quite honestly, it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is we're not a charter county right now, and of course, there's people out there collecting signatures, trying to make a charter amendment and put that on the ballot. Well, guess what? We're not even a charter. And that is egregious in my private industry life, of something so big and getting missed. I mean, that's like a fireball offense in my world if someone drops the ball that bad. But anyway, so staff has now immediately collected the documentation defined in the code section. They've worked with the ROV to certify it, and they've sent it to the Secretary of State's office. They overnighted it, actually, and delivery to the Secretary of State's office was confirmed on August 29th, 2025. So right now we're waiting on confirmation for them that the documents have been chaptered and referred to the California legislature for publication, which is required for Shasta County to officially be recognized as a California charter county. So I don't know if they just say, hey, this is just the paperwork, whatever. We're going to retroact it so it's going to be a charter as of January 1st of 2025. But as you know, government moves at the pace of, you know, the last ounce of ketchup in a massive bottle. So we're just waiting on the Secretary of State to tell us what's going on. Like, some people have said, hey, Kevin, do you think there's any way that they just nullify the election and make us do it over? I have no idea. Like, you know now what I know. I've sat on this since mid-August. Haven't brought it out publicly. I did talk about it at my coffee this last Friday. Just letting people know, hey, you're going to want to listen to the radio show, because people did say, you know, hey, what can I say? And it's like, hey, this isn't a witch hunt in terms of, you know, going after county council or anybody in the ROV's office, but the public needs to know that there was a ball dropped. I don't care whose fault it is at this point. All I care is that we rectify it and then we become a charter county, because there's a lot of work to do. And I guess one of the things for me that bothers me is what is the, you know, like I spent a lot of time on that. That's something that is very near and dear to me. I mean, I sponsored it. It's like my baby. So I want to make sure that we're a charter county, because quite honestly, one of the biggest things for it was, you know, our great governor, Gavin Newsom, he changed the law after his failed recall. And then, you know, so when you look at the successful recall of Leonard Modi, you know, you have this, the people got to vote. Now, of course, they, you know, who they voted in is no longer in office anyway, but at least the people got to vote on that. So I'm going to put a bow on that. That's consent calendar, item three. It is a survey. So I would encourage people to get very, very involved, because I'm going to keep this moving forward, because the paperwork's going to get, rectified one way or the other. I can't imagine in a million years that the state would make us, do that election over. But, you know, if they do, there's a huge cost to that. And, it is what it is. So, and if there's anything that I've said that is incorrect in this, I can promise you I will, make that right, at the first, opportunity, because, I didn't talk to, Ms. Franciscat, directly. It was staff that did, because they were just blown away that this wasn't done. And I just said, well, there's only one person really that's going to know, and it's going to be her, because it was her responsibility. That office's responsibility to do it. And that was well before, Tom Toller ever came in. So, and then when Joe Larmer came in, he was told it was already done. So, you know, where do you go with that? All right. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. So we're going to move on. I have another, thing that's kind of, in that same vein, a little bit of just some government stuff. This past week, I was, well, you know what? I'm actually going to go back for a second. I guess we're going to stay on this theme of, what I love about the radio show is, you know, I'm Kevin Cry. I'm not the chair. Do I act as the chair? Am I the chair? Yes, but I get to wear a different hat here in my private life or being on a radio show. And it just always just dumbfounds me the stuff that's happened. If you ever go back and watch old episodes of Red, White, and Blueprint, whether you hated it, whether you loved it, whether you never saw it, if you watch it and you see how things have played out, it's really, really interesting. So today, this morning, I went over to the county, because I look at Saturday and Sunday are like my bonus work days. You know, I love what I do. I love serving as a supervisor. I love all my companies. I love the things I get to do. So I work quite a bit. So I went to the county this morning at 6:30, and I scanned my card and walked in, and I thought, man, I said, you know, I'm like, what if my card didn't work? And I came down here at 6:30 to get some work done this morning. And then it kind of dawned on me that, you know, years ago, Matt Pontus, the CEO at the time, and Leonard Modi, who was the chair, they locked out the other supervisors. Their key cards didn't work. And that was the first time, really that I kind of like had that moment since I've been in office where it was like a real moment. Like, man, if I was locked out of my office, I'd be livid. I'd be livid, because the people voted me to go into my office and get the work done for them, because I'm working on some things for the alternative custody program for this week, and I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not been able to go into my office at 6:30 this morning. And it was just kind of like that surreal moment to say, man, like, I understand what happened to Jones and Baugh and Rickert and Comente, who all had their cards, I'm guessing, deactivated as well, and not being able to get into their office. So I'm just sharing that as a quick anecdote, because it's, I still have those moments as a supervisor that I think, wow, I can't believe that happened. And so what we're going to do is, after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about a big, did I say big? Big stack of emails I received dating back to, as late or as long ago as June 17th of 2019, around the Redding Rancheria's relocation. And, as you know, we had that court case that's going, and the court says that, you know, we're appealing it, but they're trying to say that we have to undo the contract with the rancheria because it wasn't done properly. Well, now I've got a massive stack of emails that proves that county departments were very in the know of what was happening going back to 2019 before COVID, way before I was ever not just elected, but involved or even knew where the county building was. And so, you know, when Mary Rickert, ex-supervisor Rickert, asked me for an apology because she felt vindicated, well, guess what? I now have about 50 emails and documentation to say I was right all along. I was right all along, and now I have proof of it, and people are going to PRA it, and I'll just make a bunch of copies, because at the end of the day, all I care about is truth. All I care about is truth in this stuff. I mean, I'm like many of you who listen who have become fans of the radio show because I'm trying to take everybody along on this journey of, like, not this Mr. Smith goes to Washington, but I'm just a dad and a coach, you know, and a husband who says, man, I got into politics and what I'm finding just baffles me. So after the break, I'm going to read you some of these emails. And I'll tell you, not maybe fully how I got them, because I want to protect the sanctity of some of that. But at the end of the day, I have my hats off to, DA Stephanie Bridget, who supplied them all to me, because she could have buried them, as I know other people have, but, she provided them to me when I asked her for him. So with that, we're going to take a short break. We may have Doug Bond on in the second half hour, but either way, we got a lot to talk about. Love you, Shasta County. Be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, Western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
It's that time again for the Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, with free admission for all ages. It's the return of beautiful dancers, the feel of powerful drummers, all from across the nation. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter Family, Reading Rancheria, Wind River Resort and Casino. This station and other proud sponsors.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, Western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
Country and we're under attack. They banning us, they cancel us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flag.
Come on, alright, this is Kevin Cry. Am I back, Dave? Alright, I couldn't hear if my microphone was up or not, but we're back. Thank you. And Dave, it was weird because, like, the big punch of that song, American Flags, went a little quiet. It's like that's when you crank it up and make people's ears bleed, right?
Yeah, I'm doing some training over here today, so.
Well, hey, no. You train on Gardner's show or Raposa's and those guys' show. Like, you do the Jefferson State of Mind or Poke the Hornet's Nest. We don't train on this. This is not the training time. No, I'm just kidding. Terry and Nick, you know I'm kidding. All right, if you're listening. So I'm going to go back because I just realized when I said I wasn't going to share where I got the emails, that's not – I want to clarify. It's how I found out the emails existed, and I'm going to protect that individual. But I was in a very, very heated argument, a very respectful heated argument. And then they had bottom line, it just comes down to documents existed – and I knew it, and then, you know, then I was able to press the issue, because once that cat's out of the bag that these things existed, that becomes a really slippery slope for electeds, to bury documents when there's proof that they do exist. So one thing I will say is, you know, there's emails here from Ben Hanna, who's now a judge, to our county council, and our district attorney is CC'd. There is documentation with Sheriff Pazenko. There's documentation of, I believe, it's Brett Govea, who was the chief of Shasta County Fire at that time. This goes back to May 31st of 2019. So some of these emails, and now that I get to thinking about it, they might not be able to be PRA. They may be attorney-client privilege. But they exist. They exist. And, I feel very, very strongly that throughout this process, you know, as we peel back this onion, we really start to see that the things that we hear about that happen in Sacramento or Washington D.C. truly happen here in Shasta County and our smaller municipalities, quite possibly. And I only say quite possibly because I haven't been at the city of Anderson, Shasta Lake, or Redding. I mean, if you take like the city of Redding, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but if you look at, you know, their council, their leadership there and some of the public turmoil around numbers. And that's one thing I can never understand is how do you argue numbers and spreadsheets, and like tax rates? I mean, it's just, it's crazy, but they're doing it. And that's why I'm so thankful for Nolda Short and Lori Scott, our auditor, controller, tax collector, et cetera, that, you know, we're all aware at any given time where we are financially, but, you know, it's where you start to say, okay, like, is there something really there? Is it just a politician that's just raising something just to, you know, shake and rattle the cage, or is it real? And that's what I'm looking forward to is who's right? Like, both sides at City of Reading can't be right. Either the person that's very upset or the people that are defending the staff or somewhere in between. At some point, we're going to get to the bottom of how those numbers truly shake out. So what we're going to do is we are going to take some call-ins, if anybody wants to call. So I'm going to pose a question here. So be ready to write this number down if you don't already know it. It's 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. Because I'm going to transition here and ask a question. I would like people to call in. But I'm going to wrap up the emails as it relates to the Redding Rancheria Wind River Casino relocation. We've appealed that. These emails that exist beyond belief tell me that this is going to be, we're going to win the appeal. There's no way they're not going to uphold the contract. There's no way, you know, with this documentation existing. I mean, it is like, you know, it's like it's like almost having a person accused of murder, but they're standing, they got pictures and video of them pulling the trigger or loading the gun, pulling the trigger, standing over the body. You know, I mean, it's that clear. So, you know, we'll see where all that goes. All right. Here's the question, and I'm going to take call-ins, and I only want call-ins that are going to be about this topic. Okay. Because I'm really, really curious how people feel about this. So, If you didn't know, recently, President Trump ordered a military strike on a Venezuela. I don't know if it was a cigarette boat or what kind of boat it was, but it had, I believe it was 10 or 12 different, not inhabitants, but, people on it with a bunch of drugs, and, they blew it up, right? J.D. Vance said, I don't give a blank, you know, he's, as it relates to, I'll go back. I'm sorry. J.D. says, I don't give a poop. Vance says, killing people he accuses of a crime is the highest and best use of the military. So Vance is, you know, saying and doubling down is, this is what the military is for. Well, Rand Paul, and I got to meet Rand Paul in Reading. We're not friends. He wouldn't even know me if you said my name, but talking to him a little bit, and I know he's been very outspoken as it relates to Dr. Fauci and others, but he had a, so I'm going to read his X or his Twitter post. It says, JD in quotes, I don't give a poop. Vance says killing people he accuses of a crime is the highest and best use of the military. Did he ever read To Kill a Mockingbird? Did he ever wonder what might happen if the accused were immediately executed without trial or representation? What a despicable and thoughtless sentiment it is to glorify killing someone without a trial. Now, you know, for me, I'm not torn on the argument of defending our borders and just being done with the cartels. That has nothing to do with it. I feel so wholeheartedly. Now, one of the people had a response, and it was, you know, trials and due process protections should be for citizens of the United States. Any due process afforded to those who are not, whether we are talking about enemy combatants or illegal migrants, should be considered a discretionary courtesy. And I thought that was an interesting rebuttal or statement. And this was just on X, just in the comments. Because what I'm asking you is, I would really like to know how people felt about the military strike blowing up that cigarette boat. And now we've, you know, deployed some F-35s down in that area because Venezuela did a flyby on, I don't know if it was a battleship or if it was an aircraft carrier or what, but, you know, what I think we're seeing right now is we're seeing other countries somewhat testing the waters of Trump's resolve of defending our borders and putting an end to the inflow of drugs and a criminal element into our country. So I know we've had a couple callers. We have one already. So, again, I want to know your input on this particular item of Trump ordering the military strike of the boat. So we have a caller, Dave.
I think he heard you say he had something specific to say, but he's on his way here.
Oh, okay. No problem. So, all right. So if you want, call in 530-605-4567. Again, that number is 530-605-4567. So I'm going to jump and transition over to the agenda right now. So again, 1450 Court Street this week, we have our meeting. We have, and again, I want to stress to you, some of you, there for a long time, many of us, when I say many of us, I'll say Supervisor Kelsher and myself, had just held the notion, like, don't come. Like, don't waste your time. Don't come. Because we still have a group of very crazy people that are just up there talking on every item. And it's just, you know, go to work, spend time with your kids, grandkids, etc. But I would say this is a meeting with the Amity Foundation that would probably be, you'd be well served to come. But we're doing a resolution, of course, on R1 for Employee of the Month for September. That's Carrie Taylor. R2, we have our normal ledge update and our ledge report. So that's going to be, probably take 20, 30 minutes. And then we have Constitution Week and a proclamation about that, which Supervisor Kelstrom is sponsoring. And then we take public comment, and then we're going to go all the way over to and I'm going to skip over consent. I'll come back to that. And I'll just tell you, because I know I've gotten a couple of texts as I'm talking here. If you want to call in about something else, go ahead. Because, I mean, I know that's been kind of the topic. So if you want to call in and talk about, because I've gotten a couple other questions about the charter and about what happened there. So, sure, this is the time, I guess. That's what I've always said. So if you want to call in about something unrelated. But I really would like to hear people's thoughts on that military strike down in the waters off the coast. All right. So R5, we're getting a presentation from the Agricultural Commissioner, or the Sealer of Weights and Measures, and it's a livestock report. So, again, if you're a cattle rancher, and I went yesterday with Supervisor Kelstrom, we were at the Shasta Cattlemen and Cattlewomen's Association annual barbecue and picnic. So that was great. So I'm sure we'll see some of them in the chambers on Tuesday. And then R6, we have a I'm going to read it so that way I get it exactly correct. It says, approve a retroactive renewal agreement with Shasta County Office of Education, SCOE, for the administration of state-mandated child care and education services for the California Work Opportunity and Responsibility to Kids program. It's also known as CalWORKS, in an amount not to exceed $4,860,060. And so I've asked Christy Coleman. We're going to meet on Monday, because I have a lot of questions about that. And I don't often talk about my private business much on the radio show, because I just try and keep all my employees and everybody else out of this. But I will say, We have, you know, give or take 100, 120 employees, seasonal and then full-time. It fluctuates. I think we're going to probably be close to 200 this summer, because our programs, and if you remember the one that I offered to SCOE for free that I charge, you know, quite a bit of money to other districts outside of Shasta County, it's growing rapidly. I mean, the white paper that was written by Dr. Kieran O'Mahony has received awards in Prague as well as in Spain. And I know he's launching a school of 5,000 kids in India in the next month. And we're going to be doing some stuff in India now as well, which, again, this is a program that started in Shasta County that I offered to give for free to SCOE, and they turned it down. So you could always ask Mike Freeman and the staff there why they would say no, but it's political, but that's fine. But when this came up on R6, I asked Christy Coleman. I said, okay, $5 million, that's a lot of cheese. I mean, that's a lot of money. And so what metrics are we looking at that says, is the county, is the state, is the taxpayer getting everything they should for that amount of money? Because the more I do in school districts, you know, I did a lot of stuff across the country pre-COVID. Now I stick pretty much just to California. I mean, I even did a big, you know, thing in Hong Kong in 2019, but I stick to pretty much California. So now I'm becoming much, much, much more aware of metrics and sole source vendors and pass-throughs and funding as it relates to categorical. And again, pre-COVID, you know, it was just different. And now that I'm in government, I have to understand. I mean, HHSA, you know, $300 and something million, and I've had to learn categoricals, because people will say, hey, why can't you just cut this program and give it to the jail? Well, it doesn't work that way. You have to do it with what the money's intended for. And are there some gray areas? Not really, but there's creative ways to still get what you want to get done if it's legal. And if it's legal and ethical and it's good for people, like, that's where, and I'll tell you, that's why I really like working with Supervisor Plummer on some stuff, is because, I mean, we don't agree on everything, and we sure don't agree on the pace of which, how we want to get things done. But I will say, he'll put the time in. And all the supervisors up there have some really good, great strengths. But working with Supervisor Plummer, as we talk about money and investing it, I always say investing. Most of the others say spending. But I want to invest this so there's a return. And as it relates to R6, I'm really asking questions about, hey, this goes to the child care providers. It might be passed through from the state to the county to SCOE, and then they pass it through to the care providers. But I want to know what metrics and checks and balances are there, so people are actually doing the work that they're being paid to do. Who's watching them? Who's watching the watchers? Because the reason my programs are rapidly growing across the state is because, and I've heard this multiple times, that they say, Kevin, nobody's staff and teams care for kids like yours do. And that's not me. Oh, I mean, it's my organization, but we have brain-based trainings that we do for our kids that are scientifically proven to move the needles in kids' lives. And that's why we're growing so fast, is because we do it differently. And I want to make sure that what we're investing in here in Shasta County, when it comes to kids and it comes to, because I'll tell you what, I mean, we want to see that number go down. And the reason we want to see that number go down is it means families are being reunited. Kids are doing better. Less services are needed because there's fewer kids on medication or broken homes or whatever. I mean, it's a huge hornet's nest, but I think it's really, really, really important that we understand that. So if anybody has any information, your child care provider, please reach out to me. And let's chat, because I want to know if there's phenomenal work being done, which I believe it probably is. I want to champion that. But if there's things that we can do to improve the outcomes for kids, I want that too. Because what really, really, really got me going was when I read the staff report on R6. And if you look in the staff report, it says, since 1998, SCOE has offered phenomenal services. That was like the first sentence. I said, wait a minute. Who freaking wrote this? Who's been here since 1998? Who says they've been great programs since 1998? And I'm not saying they aren't. I'm just saying, how does that show up in a staff report where somebody's attesting to something happening, you know, 28 years ago? And of course it's crickets. And then, you know, and Christy Coleman has always been, very, very forthright about getting documentation and getting stuff that I need. Cause I asked, I said, I want to know if this is just copy and pasted. Like, so there's going to be some accountability. And I hope what it does is it shows that those child care providers in SCOE are absolutely killing it, knocking it out of the park, because that's what I hope for. It's not an I gotcha. It's not that I want to catch them doing something wrong. I want to catch them doing something right. And I can say, hey, look, these guys are killing it. This is what they're doing. These are the metrics that show the improvement in kids' lives. This is why it's trending down, is because we're doing great things, or they're doing great things. That's all I want. So that's going to be R6. So R6 is going to be one that I think there's going to be some discussion on that. All right. We have a caller. I'm sorry. Thank you for your patience. Does it say Laura? Hello. Are you there? Do we have a caller?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. So is this Nick?
This is Nick. Hey, I just... I tell you, I 100% back up President Trump blowing that boat out of the water. He's not a murderer. He's doing what's best for our country, just like you are for our county. And people need to get used to the idea that those people were bringing in death drugs to our country. And I hesitate to think that they didn't get warned, that they didn't try and stop them. And, you know, like I say, I back him up. Had it been Hillary Clinton, Obama, or Biden, I'd say no. But yeah. I absolutely prefer. So that's all I had to say. Thanks, buddy.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and you know, as far as Hillary Clinton or Biden or Obama, you know, I mean, the reason we're having to go to such extreme measures is because we've had millions of people infiltrate our country. And that's the reality. Okay, thanks for calling in. Again, if you want to call in, 530-605-4567. We have another caller. Laura, are you there?
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
The Venezuelan government is run by Trendelagua, which is a criminal cartel that's been designated as a terrorist organization. Venezuela created Smartmatic, which is the operating software in all the voting machines. And if you want to understand the full threat that Venezuela poses to the U.S., read my article at ShastaVote.org called "Has the United States Been Conquered by a Banana Republic?" And the bottom line is that terrorists operating in international waters have no right to due process that citizens of the United States have. So, in my opinion, yeah, it was completely justified.
Well, thank you. And then that's Shasta Votes with is that plural?
No, singular. ShastaVote.org.
ShastaVote.org. So let me ask you, Laura. Was that ChatGPT? Was that ChatGPT, or did you write? I mean, because listen, I mean that's great information. I was just curious if how you found like that fast, which is.
So if you read the article, you'll see that it's all based on an X-Space that Patrick Byrne had about 6 months ago, and he's been very directly involved with the Venezuelan government. In fact, they have put a call out for him they want him arrested in Venezuela, so he's got a bounty on his head. So, yeah, it's very eye-opening.
Yeah, no.
This is what's going to be coming to light very soon to the general public, but it's been known just within the circles of the people who are directly involved with the election work for about, I'm going to say, 6 months or a year now.
Well, I really appreciate you calling it. Yeah, like there's very, I mean, I know very little about the, I mean, I've really tried to just be hyper-focused on what I can vote on and control. And when I say control, I'm talking about outcomes and initiatives that I know I can impact as a supervisor. So when it comes to some of this stuff, especially outside of Shasta County or especially outside California as it relates to federal level or, you know, military airstrikes, et cetera, I'm pretty ignorant to it. I just, when I saw Rand Paul come out so hard, I was a little troubled by that a little bit. But you know what? Hey, you know, it is what it is. So, hey, Laura, thank you so much for calling, and I will definitely be reading that article. All right, we have our next caller. Ken, are you there?
Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good. Hey, you know, President Trump has had to take actions like this, the National Guard in our beautiful cities, doing what he did to the boat. Because the last administration, there were no adults in charge. So now we have a president that is willing to put America first, And both myself and Christie 100% support that boat being blown up, because he saved a lot of American lives by being blown up. And the fact of the matter is, America comes first. The other countries need to wait.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't agree more. You know, what I start to wonder where this would go is if people try and put, like, children in these boats and try and do something to that degree. But at the end of the day, you know, this is, I mean, we are at war. There is no denying that. Of course, you see this, I don't know if it was an executive order already or there's talk of it being an executive order. Again, this is what I just said with the last caller. I don't keep up on some of the federal stuff as quickly as I do, of course, with the county stuff. But President Trump sounded like was going to rename the Department of Defense to the Department of War. And, you know, realistically, we have to take our country back, and it is being taken back. And now we're actually taking some cities back, and the cities that would ask the federal government not to step in and clean it up. That's just baffling to me, but it is what it is. So, Ken, thank you so much for calling. All right.
Thank you, Kevin.
You bet. All right, so again, if you want to call, and I got a few minutes left, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And one other thing that I want to talk about as it relates to our agenda, and we talked briefly about that, was you'll see we do have a couple closed session items, and I'm often asked about bringing stuff out of closed session that you know, we are able to do that as supervisors, and we can vote to bring everything out, and it's the people's money, and it should be done in public. I want to make sure, again, this is just the conversation that we can always have, and when it comes to, we talk about transparency, it's not a matter of not wanting to be transparent. When we talk about, when our county council sits the five of us down and we talk about strategies and litigation of, you know, bad actors who are trying to get a payday, or who are, you know, trying to see, you know, a way to, you know, sue the county and get some money because they're disgruntled or they've done something wrong or whatever. We can't talk about strategy, and we can't talk about the courtroom strategy that we're going to use or what we're going to offer, or if we know that, you know, we are going to have to settle and we want to settle before a trial. And let's just hypothetically say, hey, we're going to settle. We're going to give county council the ability to settle up to $200,000. You know, if we could settle it before it goes to a trial. So we say $200,000. Well, if we talked about that in open session, what's the other attorney going to do? At the negotiating table, they're going to say, well, $200,000 is what we want. And there's going to be no room because they already know what have agreed to go up to. And so what, you know, of course, then would happen is county council or outside council would try and mitigate our pay or what we have to pay out. And maybe we wind up settling for $85,000 or $115,000. So there's a huge savings there. And that's because the other side doesn't know what we're willing to pay up to. And so that's why, and again, I can explain this till I'm blue in the face to some people, and some people still just think it should all come out, and that's just not how it works. And that's one thing that I've really learned, again, and like I said, I even just this morning when I went and got my I went into my office at like 6:30 this morning, just my key card, you know, working as it should, as it always should. Just the fact that there was a time when it didn't, and those little, you know, those little things kind of happen. And you know how, like, when the hair on the back of your neck stands up, or you just get like goosebumps, you're like, oh, that was weird. Like, you know, God gave us those innate abilities as humans to, like, listen to that. Some people will call it the Holy Spirit. Some people say they call it, you know, their gut. Other people will call it, you know, whatever they want to call it, intuition. But at the end of the day, we all have that built in. And anytime I have those type of epiphanies or those type of experiences, I like to try and talk about them so people understand, you know, if you feel called to do something or you want to do something, you got to go for it. Because what I realize is there's a lot more we can do as individual citizens than ever thought possible. I never thought I would. I mean, I didn't even. I won't say I never thought about running for office, because it wasn't even a thing. It wasn't ever would I run for office or would I not run for office. It was just like, you know, like I've said before, like there's somebody like drowning in a pool and you just jump in. You don't take your phone out. You don't take your keys out or your wallet or, you know, whatever. You just like, oh my gosh, there's somebody in trouble. You jump in. And for me in public office, that's what I did. I just jumped in. So if you're thinking, man, I got to get involved. I got to do something. Man, I mean, I'm telling you, our country, a great friend of mine said recently that if more Christians and more people would have run for school boards 20 years ago instead of watching the news, our country would be in a lot different spot. And he's right. And, well, I don't even care if it's Christian, maybe. Maybe it's Muslim, or just maybe if you're a good person. But people that just care about kids. Shasta County, that's my time. Love you. Join me on Facebook tomorrow. Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. Have a great couple weeks.
For both this pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away.
KCNR, Shasta Redding, Durham Medical Center.